I had never visited. I went to a jail once as a kid on a field trip, as it were, but I had never. So to me, it was like a real call to be of assistance to this man who was facing execution since he was on death row. So, and I've never regretted, not once, ever having said yes to that invitation.
What do the conversations entail since? And I know that obviously you can't speak too much or no. too privately, of course.
Well, at first I visited for 2 hours, and I thought, oh my goodness, what will I say to a man that I don't even know for 2 hours? But the thing is, he is an excellent conversationalist, and I had been told this by the chaplain that he was a very good conversationalist. So things never really drag too much, because he's always in there with a new idea or thinking about, you know, something. So, and then we always pray together. That's part of the time that we spend together in prayer. And I've shared a lot with him about community life and about my own family and whatever's going on in my own life. And he in turn does the same. So we're just good friends.
What kind of misconceptions do you think people may have about prison life and about people on death row? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think some people think of them as monsters almost. But once you get in there and begin talking with these people, you find that they are human beings with the same needs that you have or that I have or that anyone has, and they've made some bad choices in their life and made some bad or horrible mistakes. And David is the first one to say, you know, that he is responsible for what has happened. He doesn't blame it really on the fact that he grew up extremely poor or that he had a mother who really, I think, was mentally incompetent. He does take responsibility for his actions.
Have you or he ever been able to speak to any victims at all or relatives of victims?
No. And I know that he has written to the Marty family a number of times, but he did get a letter, I believe, from the brother, but recently. And I think the brother was kind of like saying he should have done more for his brother. He never ever said that he forgave David for what he had done to his brother.
What does David think about that and well, the ability to speak or not speak with?
I think he would very much, and especially early on, he really tried, I think, very hard to express to the parents of this young man, he was a young man, I think in his 20s, his sincere sorrow for what he had done. But they never, ever responded in any way, so he just gave up after, I don't know how many attempts he made, but, you know, he gave up after a while trying to get any kind of response from them. And he expects, even though his lawyers, they're going to hear oral arguments about reinstating his appeals on Thursday of this week, he really says that he has no hope that anything's going to change. That the execution will go forward as planned on June 8th.
Has he resigned himself to that?
I think he has. He would prefer it not to happen, but I think in his mind, that's what he's, you know, if it doesn't happen, then hallelujah, you know. But he's, I think, not letting himself even think that there's a possibility that he would receive a stay at this point. And that's probably healthy for him to do that, I would think, rather than pin your hopes on maybe getting that stay.